Welcome in, everybody, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. The foundation of everything that we do here on this channel comes back to the financial freedom number. It's the foundation, really, of everything that we do in real estate investing. So today on the show, we're going to talk about that. Now, the freedom cheat sheet is simply that. It's simply a PDF. That's it. It's super easy to download. I created it a few years ago, and it is the thing that started Natalie and I on our journey to financial freedom. The document helped solidify everything for me and my family. It was the way for me to set a goal. It was the way for us to assess our financial situation. And it's something that we should also come back to on a regular basis. So we've been sharing the Freedom Cheat Sheet ever since. It was something we created internally in our family, and then we put it out there for the world. And it's a 3-page PDF. And I have to say, I've heard from tens of thousands. Well, it's been downloaded hundreds of thousands of times, but many, many thousands of you have written me over the years saying how transformative this document was. And it's nothing that revelatory, but it because we put this information together and you actually start to assess your family's finances, in many ways, it is revelatory. You start to uncover things you didn't even know that you were spending money on in your family. So before we get any further in this, I just want to mention that in the description of today's video, there is a link. So you can download the Freedom Cheat Sheet. You can go to morrisinvest.com/freedom, download it. It's totally free. Again, it's about 3 pages, and we'll sort of walk you through step by step by step what we're going to talk about here today. So what I recommend is you download it, and then you watch this video along with it so we can have it as a companion piece to dive into. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, again, morrisinvest.com is the place to go, /freedom, morrisinvest.com/freedom. Okay, so here's how it works. You calculate your monthly expenses. That's the first step. You calculate your monthly expenses, everything from your monthly mortgage payments to your rent payment to your Netflix subscription, everything. And I mean everything. And what you're going to find is, you know, you're going to find all sorts of things you didn't even realize that were in there. Okay, so just imagine for a second. I get charged every day. I get an alert that comes through on my phone, love it or hate it, for like my American Express business card for business expenses. Okay. And because I have that card tied to so many different pieces of software that I use to run my business or just whatever it is, right? I get alerts on a regular basis for this little $1.99 piece of software or this thing that's $600 or this that's $400. I mean, boom, ba boom, ba boom, right? I look at some of those charges sometimes. I say to myself, maybe I don't need that anymore. Well, that's kind of what this is about. This is kind of taking total assessment of your family's financial situation. I mean, looking at everything, you know, going through and saying, okay, do we really need to be paying for this streaming service when we don't even watch it? We only watch Disney Plus, or we don't even watch Disney Plus. We only use Hulu, or we don't use any of them. We never watch television. We read books. Okay, then maybe it's time to cancel this stuff. It's about going through and taking a total stock of your family's finances and your expenses. Now, once you understand that, once you have all of those expenses, from there, I recommend padding that number by about 10%. So let's say your total monthly expenses for your family to live off of right now, rent, groceries, everything. Let's just say it's a round number of $2,000 a month, okay? Or 20. Yeah, let's just, for the sake of this video, let's just say it's $2,000 a month. Some of you watching right now might be saying, whoa, I wish it was $2,000 a month. I get it. But look, it's a nice round number. And there's people in different parts of the country that are going to actually have that number. If you live in New Jersey or New York City or East Coast, you're going to be paying a lot more for your cost of living. So again, nice round number. Then I want you to pad it by 10%. So if it's $2,000, you know, I want you to add $200. That just gives us some safety, a safety net here, because after all, life happens, right? And you're going to have extra expenses. You're going to have things that'll creep up on you. Sometimes, you know, you're going to have a hot water heater that's going to go that you didn't think about, or you want to take a vacation. So padding it by about 10% will give you that sort of a little bit of flexibility for dining out, a little entertainment, maybe taking that vacation or just a life event. So once you've done all that, once you've padded your expenses by that little bit, then that is your freedom number. This is the amount of money that you need your performing assets to generate every single month to be able to provide for you and your family. So that's the way that I look at this, right? Keep it in front of you all the time. Put it up on your whiteboard. Keep it top of mind. Put it on your refrigerator. Make sure you have that freedom number written down. We've actually had clients at Morris Invest send us photos of their freedom number. In fact, one lady, I remember this stands out to me. One lady, one of our clients sent a big picture that she had of these balloons that she had made, these Mylar balloons with her freedom number. And she had them blown up so she could look at it every day and see it. This is the goal. Once you write it down and you put it in front of you, you can attain this goal. Writing it down transforms it, makes it real. It's not just something pie in the sky anymore. Now, you know your monthly expenses. You've padded it by 10%. This is the goal that you're going for. This is what you want every month to bring in passively to cover yourself so that you're always taken care of, regardless of what job situation looks like. You have that passive income from rental properties, from dividends, from what, you know, maybe you have a business also. You know, we talk about this on the show too, owning a business that creates passive income. It doesn't just have to be real estate. For me, though, it was real estate. For me, that was my goal. I wanted real estate. I wanted performing assets to provide monthly cash flow from my real estate investments in order for me to live off of. You know, that freedom number is a long-term goal. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen long-term. I always recommend just write it down, put it in front of you. But one big mistake I've noticed that people make is that they often almost become married to that number, and they probably have more expenses now than they might have later in life. So there are so many things that can ebb and flow in your life. For instance, when we first did our initial freedom number, we had two children. Well, now we have three. So that number expanded. We also left one of the highest property tax counties in America in Essex County, New Jersey, and we moved to a slightly less property tax crazy county in Morris County, New Jersey. So we moved at a point and we ended up saving a boatload in property taxes, but we also ended up adding a third child to our mix, and children cost money. So these things ebb and flow, and you need to then think about this as a moving target. I like to think of it sort of like the Constitution or a Google document. You know, it's a living, breathing document, something that you should come back to, I say, once a year at least, but maybe even quarterly, looking at your expenses, having a check-in and an assessment of your expenses to see if that freedom number has changed at all. Maybe there are some things that you've eliminated. You've cut the fat on some areas, right? Maybe you've reduced your mortgage. Maybe you've paid off some debt. Maybe whatever it happens to be, you've paid off that credit card so you don't have that one expense anymore. You know, this can change. This ebbs and flows. That freedom number can ebb and flow and change. And don't forget about the three stages of real estate investing. This is important when you're thinking about your freedom number. Remember, if you're still working and you have no intention of quitting just yet, and you're fine with the day job, and you're fine with the income that's coming in, remember the three stages of real estate investing: buy real estate, own real estate, cash flow real estate. So this is important. So when you have that freedom number, remember you're acquiring those assets in the beginning, maybe with mortgages, probably very likely with mortgages. So you're not really worried about the cash flow just yet. Just remember the cash flow will come. The asset is now added to your asset column on your balance sheet, okay? And it's producing cash flow. It's building equity, but you're not really touching that cash flow, right? Because you're paying down the mortgage on that rental property, and the cash flow will come later. So you're paying down a mortgage. Maybe you're taking that extra cash and you're reinvesting it into other rental properties. So the beginning stages, you're just acquiring properties, okay? Don't even pay attention to the cash flow. And then the second stage of real estate investing is owning it. So now it's paid off. Now you own it. Okay, that's the second stage. And then the third stage, now you get to enjoy the benefits of the cash flow. Okay, so very often, a lot of people, when they watch my videos, they try to put the cart before the horse. They're like, yeah, I just want to buy that for the cash flow. I want the cash flow. Okay, if you want that now, then we need to have a different discussion. So the cash flow will come, right? That's part of the process. But right now, in the beginning, it's acquiring performing assets. Use your abilities right now as a working individual with a job, you know, and the ability to secure loans because you have a W-2 job. Those things are very important for you to start to build that foundation to enjoy the cash flow later. So that's very important. for, you know, think about those, you know, if you're a new investor, you're likely in the buying stage of this, right? And in this stage, you're working on the tax benefits, the principal reduction, the returns on your appreciation, cash flow benefits come later. And then it opens up a whole new can of worms, of course, when the cash flow comes later, then that's when you want to think about acquiring additional real estate, the buy until you die strategy, because now that cash flow becomes income and I need a way to offset that cash flow. And the way to do that is to acquire new real estate. So it's the buy until you die strategy. So things to think about. Now, as you pay off these investments, then you can begin to start to leverage these investments. Right now, though, you're going to probably have a 20% down or 25% down. So you're not going to have a ton of equity in the properties. But then you're going to allow the tenants to build up that equity over the next 5-6 years. And now you're getting close to having these things paid off, right? Now you can really dive deeper into your real estate investing journey. The more doors open for you, because now this equity is being built up. You can leverage some of that equity in the form of a home equity line of credit. You can acquire more performing assets, and the snowball effect just happens. It really, really happens as you move towards that big financial freedom number. And you're creating a powerful foundation in the beginning when you're buying those assets. And, you know, as these loans paid off, the cash flow becomes yours. And if you're like most of our clients, you're going to begin to use, you're going to start out by using financing to purchase your properties. Why in the world would you use all of your own money to acquire properties when bank financing is so cheap? Absolutely. You want to use other people's money. You know, what other assets in the world can you buy where you get 100% of the asset, but you only have to put 25% down? And the bank is going to basically give you an asset, a home. They don't own the home, right? They're just financing it. Now you have 100% of the home. Nothing else. Like if you want to go buy gold, it's not going to happen. Like you can't go buy gold and put 25% down and have the bank buy the other part of the gold for you. Doesn't work that way, right? Just doesn't work that way. If you want to go buy Bitcoin, no, you've got to buy the Bitcoin. You can't like get a bank to float you that money to buy Bitcoin. Doesn't work that way. But real estate, it does. I mean, it's, why would you use your own money to do it? I mean, the structure is there for you to, you know, to utilize this strategy. So you're going to begin by financing your properties. You may calculate your freedom number and think that, hey, you need 15 doors, 15 houses in order to reach your goal, when in reality, you might only need 5. The cash flow number is going to change over time. Again, this is, you know, think of it as a marathon, not a sprint. Okay. There's no such thing as get rich quick. This is really laying an incredibly strong foundation for you and your family. It's a marathon. Okay. And you're building legacy wealth here. You know, when you watch those shows about the, all of these famous families, you know, you think about the Rockefellers and you think about these other families that hand down money to their family. They have a legacy there. That's the legacy I'm talking about. That's what you want to be able to do for your family. Now, if you haven't seen my video on the 3 stages of real estate investing, I suggest you go and check that out. We'll have a link to it here in the chat and in the comment section below, in the description below, so you can check that out. The key, though, in this entire process is become a financially intelligent real estate investor. And that's really the goal with this channel, is to make you financially intelligent in this process. So not being overzealous about the cash flow at the beginning, thinking more strategically and long-term is really the goal. And really the tax benefits, the tax strategy, because if you're currently employed, we want to be able to leverage these homes for the tax benefits right now, not worrying about the cash flow right now. So back to the freedom number. Do I want you to keep this number front of mind? Absolutely, yes, I do. But I don't want you to become so obsessed with this number that you aren't open-minded to the idea of this changing over time. And again, it's a living, breathing document. And I would suggest even something as simple as creating a Google document or Google Sheet or something. I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of Google keeping my personal finances there. I mean, it's, you know, it's like you're giving it over to big tech in a way. So maybe you keep something locally on your computer. Like if you use a Mac, using Numbers is a great program on your Mac. Maybe using Excel on your Mac, on your PC, whatever it is, maybe keeping it local so it's not out in the cloud somewhere. Totally up to you. Again, you do you, I'll do me. I know my wife loves using Google Documents. I personally do not for this purpose. Anyway, create a sheet. Create a spreadsheet that it's a living, breathing document that you're using every month, that you're updating every month with your family expenses. And what does that number look like? You know, every month check in on the first of the month and have a cataloging of what last month looked like. Did you eliminate a credit card? Did you eliminate a streaming service that you're not watching anymore? Did you stop paying for the New York Times? Which I hope you do. I hope you don't pay for that. You know, things like that. Like you cancel subscriptions and all of those sorts of things. Like what are you whittling out of your life that you don't need? Just the cruft that builds up, you know? And so keep checking in once a month at the beginning of the month and have that spreadsheet updating. And that freedom number at the bottom and the total that's padded with 10%, you know, that is a moving target and really focusing on getting towards that goal. So one of the fastest ways to reach your freedom number is not necessarily acquiring performing assets. Like that is part of it. But a fast way to get towards your freedom number is to eliminate crap in your life. Eliminate expenses in your life. Think about that for a second, right? Can you live more minimally? Do you need all of these extra things? Can you eliminate some of it? While at the same time moving towards finding these performing assets, right? Like eliminating crap and acquiring performing assets. You're going to get to that number much more quickly. If you have a life-changing event like paying off your mortgage or taking on a new expense, you're going to want to recalculate your financial freedom number. And again, looking at it every month, I suggest at the very, you know, just as a document, but having a real check-in either once a year or every quarter about your overall financial health.